Okay. Say it again.
Let go of the things that are no longer serving us. So, I mean, you don't let go of the highest good and all that. It's just things are there in your awareness because they're serving a purpose. When you let go, you don't let go of everything. I've done that. It doesn't really serve anything either. So you let go of the things that are no longer serving you and your intention.
Yeah, if you actually let go of everything, then you have this kind of listless, oh my God, I'm lost. It's more like what I've been learning is you know, we've come from such a crisis dynamic and fight flight that to let go of everything, because I know been there, done that, to let go of everything and want it all gone now is continual fight flight. So it's like really to this place of, like you said, let go of what no longer serves.
Mm-hmm. Right, and the thing that comes in with that as well is that, yes, and what we sometimes forget in our humanity that, you know, everything really is on purpose, and sometimes it's our mind that says this isn't about what's in my highest good. When we can actually face it and let it go with ease, then we really have let it go. But everything is on purpose, and it's bringing us to that place of being able to go into the whatever it is that we're fearing and recognizing and saying, okay, how can I be at peace with this? What is there to learn from this? Is there? And if not, how can I be at peace with that? And then just letting it go. Because, you know, the saying is old habits die hard. Well, the beautiful thing of it is that when it's died, it's died. No, it's still... You know, sometimes that those things continue to come up because there's still another thing that we haven't quite learned from it, and our mind says, "This isn't the best for me." Well, what if it's going to bring the deepest understanding that is the absolute best for you?
True.
Because when we can look at any situation and say, "How can I be at peace with this?" What energy, space, and consciousness can I be in this moment to be at full peace with this? And that allows us to really know, is, you know, what is the peace? What is the peace to glean from it? That's the gold in it. And then we don't make it right or wrong or good or bad. How can I be at peace with this? Because then that allows the space for the opening and to recognize that things are on purpose. And when we come to that place and we really drop into the true nature of trust, which is about connecting to the heart or feeling connected to the heart, because when we drop into that true nature of trust, no matter what happens, there's an absolute trust that this is where I'm supposed to be, so that one, I get clear about my boundaries, two, I get clear about what I'm not going to do anymore, three, I get clear about, wow, this totally rocks, and it gives me the most amazing joy I've had in my entire life. Like, you know, so that, you know, because those things that give us the utmost joy can also be the biggest distraction sometimes.
Yeah.
So our mind creates this idea around what's good and what's bad about our highest good when it's all in our highest good. When we can just come to the really understanding the true nature of trust, and saying, okay, I completely trust that everything is on purpose, and how can I be at peace with this? And step into that place and embrace the place of joy.
Oh, beautiful.
That was beautiful. And it really, anything that does come to you, it's very good to just kind of literally look it straight in the eye, whether it's a person or a situation, and just kind of come to that place of asking that, or what is this in service of right now? How does this serve? And then just letting the answer come, and then you almost don't have to let go of anything, because the very acknowledgement of it in the terms of coming to peace, it's not about having to let go. It's about just coming to that, as Teresa said, coming to that state of peace, and then there's no efforting about letting go. It just dissipates.
And the thing that comes from that is, you know, we're on this journey called life. And And this mastery of life, life mastery, is really about seeing purpose in every moment.
Yes. And you brought up a very valid point, the life mastery. It's so many people are confused and think that their purpose is they have to be a John Valtime, or they have to be a, you know, somebody who gets out there and creates this that they start spreading into the world. And it's not about everybody having to, quote-unquote, create a system. It's about mastering your own life, mastering the joy and the beauty of your own life, and recognizing the divinity as it comes.
Mm.
So it's really about stepping into this place of life mastery. So mastery doesn't mean I have to master body talk, I have to master pranic healing, I have to master anything other than my presence here on earth. And what is my presence here on earth? What is it I want to share? And that, I feel like, because a lot of also some of the requests that were coming in were about letting go. A lot of people were talking about how they were feeling a lot of anxiety with the way things are changing, just in general, feeling anxiety. And part of that is because of the whole concept of having to control and having to have a certain presentation, have an idea of what they're supposed to be in the world instead of allowing themselves to just simply show up and be joyful about it.
Right, and part of that is about it's really coming to the place is like, how can I be love no matter, how can I be love no matter what? Because if I'm being love, then there's nothing that is wrong or nothing that is not being presented in a way for me to glean something from. And it's like the divine is so loving that it will give you and present with you whatever it takes for you to evolve into the very into the amazing person that you already are, but just so that you can recognize it.
Yes.
Because in our human sight, we don't see that. But yet, from a place of truth and from the place of really knowing the connection with the divine, we can embrace the beingness of what really is and who we really are without judgment and without feeling like we're being forced. And because it's like even the masters say, the truth is this, the truth is this. Well, the truth can't be taught.
Exactly.
The truth is simply a transfer of information. There's no way truth can be reduced to language or concepts. So someone who's truly a master, it's not his teaching, it's his being, and his or her presence, his or her gestures, the way they look at you, the way they talk, the way they keep quiet when there's something between the words to hear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's life mastery. And Osho talks about that, and it's really about truth isn't something that can be taught. It's not a communication. It's more of a communion. It's something that's discovered. And it's discovered with the person that's in the experience. And it's discovered within the person who's courageous enough to lose themselves in the experience to know they can know they can never be lost at the same time.
Funny, as you're speaking, all of a sudden there is all this background noise.
Mm-hmm.
As you were talking about someone who's not afraid of being lost.
Mm-hmm.
So there was some of that in the background there.
Which is interesting because truth is found in the silent gaps against the background of language.
Exactly. Language is not, there's not, language is not the truth. And language is simply words that we express, and more often than not, without words is when we're actually being the truth. Mm-hmm. And again, the truth, like Teresa said, you can't tell another person the truth. In fact, I just watched Deepak Chopra, an old episode of Deepak Chopra last night, and it was funny because he was saying be with people who are seeking the truth, although I actually don't like that whole concept of seeking. I've decided I'm stopping seeking, because if you seek, you're never going to find it. But he said, also run from anybody that says they know the truth.
So, truth is relative.
Exactly.
It's relative to the perception of what you need to know or hear or perceive at any given time that's serving you or that works for you. It's nothing more.
Exactly.
I mean, you've got the absolutes and stuff, but the absolutes are like 0.0 and blah, 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 that really you can't put the words. But the truth that we have to use in our lives is perceiving what we need to hear or perceive or otherwise pick up on to either make the changes we need to make or be okay with things as they are. So, you know, kind of put in two broad categories as we go through life.
Yeah, so it's about actually just being in the moment and actually allowing the answers to come, allowing the perceptions to clearly come through, and just continually ask for clarity. Is this true? Is this truth for me?
Is this what I'm needing to pick up that's going to serve me best right now? Because the truth may be completely different tomorrow and the next day. And that's okay. It should be changing in many ways. The absolutes maybe not, but the way markers or the whatever that, you know, kind of guide you through decisions and stuff will change all the time. It used to drive me crazy, but now I just realize I'm picking up what I need. The answer I'm getting is what I need to know today or now, and that answer may not be true tomorrow. It's confusing at first. But
also remember not to look for the truth in your head. Because while we're talking right now, everybody seems pretty heady. And sometimes, you know, the truth is in yourself, in your heart space. Confirm it with your head, but always find the truth within, in your heart. Because right now, people trying to figure it out in their head, they're like all over, like what, who, how, what? Go back into your heart, and that's where you find and see and seek the truth.
And ultimately, the absolute truth is in the heart, but we still need to use our head, so to speak, to be able to perceive that truth. So you're always having to alter those filters of perception in your head to really figure out what the heart's telling you. I mean, sometimes it's very easy, but sometimes it's not as clear.
That's true. And I like what you just said a minute ago, too, about it used to drive you crazy, and it's confusing, because that's what a lot of people are feeling right now. They're feeling like, oh, my God, my life is not at all what I imagined it to be, and there are all these scary things out there in the world, and I have no idea what that means. And so the confusion and the unknowing is scary for people. But that is it's a good place to be, in the confusion. If you can just breathe into it, and that's a really good way to get into your heart. Just take a breath. Nice. I like that. I've recently learned in one of with Twin Hearts Meditation, the aspect of, they call it Twin Hearts Meditation because they work with the heart chakra and the crown chakra, and they talk about these are the twin hearts, and that makes perfect sense to me from the perspective of joining the heart and the mind. It's really the heart. Go ahead.
It's the universal heart.
It's the universal heart. And yet it's coming in through the crown. Yeah.
I thought you were talking about Doctor Who. He has twin hearts.
You don't know Doctor Who? Hey, sci-fi has a lot of truth to it from the past.
Yeah. Well, he is a time traveler, so.
Yes.
And the beautiful thing about the breath is that because the breath really brings us into the present moment, the breath allows us to feel emotion, and emotion is felt through the heart. And and when we can feel emotion in its purest form, we have no reason to fear it. We just recognize it as a feeling, and we allow it to move through. As opposed to when we're not fully breathing, we feel it, and then we hold on to it, and then we get stuck, and then when that happens, more fear gets built up, and then that just continues a cycle of fear, which brings us into the place of not being connected to our heart. But that breath so fully just connects us in with that heart energy when we really feel the expansion of the breath all the way through the heart, that we feel it expand through the back as well as the front side of the heart.
Are you doing things while you're talking? Because I can hear a bunch of background noise.
I'm not.
Okay, I hear somebody.
I'm not.
I hear background noise, too, but I'm not sure where it's coming from.
Okay, thank you. Wanted to check.
I'm working with the stuff we're talking about with, you know, hard head. We're getting kind of philosophical, but sort of trying to do the practical or whatever, the session, I guess. There's a number of channels. I've been feeling it a lot lately. Again, the whole heart connecting to the mind or connecting to the pelvis energy or other parts of the body. So I tend to keep things in those three for some reason. It just kind of simplifies it. But there's like five different channels from the heart to the mind. There's the conscious, subconscious, sub-superconscious kind of channels that are working. You've got the meridian channels, the chakra channels, the kundalini channels, which are obviously some overlap there. But it's more getting that understanding of the mind or the perception within the mind and body of what the heart is trying to communicate or what the heart is. And it's not the heart communicating as such. It's where your heart is resonating with sort of absolute truth. And then if that even resonance in the heart isn't serving you and is drawing in, you know, or resonating with the wrong energies or energies that aren't serving you, then that have more clarity of perception to ask for different things or to ask for different possibilities to show up.
And then the clarity is important, and yet the clarity, the biggest clarity that the mind could benefit from right now is the clarity of knowing what to do in the moment, but also the clarity of being open to what to do in the moment showing up differently than it imagined in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now what's going on is we've talked about this over and over again the last few sessions, and it's really about the old programming is falling away. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't feel like that to a lot of people, I heard that. But it is. And the problem, the reason it doesn't feel like it's falling away is because we're uncertain of where the next step is to take us, so we're not trusting there is solid ground underneath our footing if we move forward without dragging the old baggage behind us, mm-hmm. acting like our great-great-great-great-grandparents did, or without acting like our ancient history told us things are. Without following that perception, we're feeling lost, and we're feeling disconnected. And it's really about bringing us, and that's actually a gift. If we can just breathe into that feeling of disconnecting, and because what will happen is, and the image that I'm seeing is literally like this floating in space, and if you just breathe into it, all of a sudden what you need shows up, and you feel your feet on solid ground.
When you need it, the ground shows up, and then the tree, and then the car to take you somewhere. So.
And I'm feeling, and a lot of, you talked about the pelvic diaphragm, Andy, and a lot of people are urinary tract infection, believe it or not, right now, and kidney bladder issues, and that's all fear-based foundational issues. And it's because, again, of those foundations feeling shaken and feeling lost, and so the bladder actually feels like, oh, I don't have any support. So there's this continual urgency. I feel like we need to do some work around the root and sexual chakras, the pelvic diaphragm, and the kidney bladder channels.
It's like we need to do energetic Kegel exercises to strengthen the I mean, you know, there's like that support of the pelvis, that muscular support. Energetically speaking, it's like you need to. It's not going to be. I mean, you could do it as physical Kegel exercises, I guess, but it's like more of a energetic intention to try to stabilize that.
Who's clicking in the background?
Your call.
See what?
Can you see it on the board?
No, it doesn't tell me who's clicking or where the noise is
what?
Coming.
I don't think she muted everybody, did she?
No, I didn't mute anybody. I actually kind of like leaving everybody open, so I just ask. That's why I keep who's if anybody knows that they're in a windy environment or they have something that they're doing on the side and it's making some background noise, I ask you to please mute yourself so I don't have to mute everybody. Okay, that was interesting because all of a sudden everything just went punk quiet. And I feel it like dropped down the solar plexus. That's kind of funny, actually. I literally felt and heard the heart go clunk down into the solar plexus. It's like my heart and my stomach, that old metaphor. Mm-hmm. That's what I saw. So, let's see if we can rearrange that. Wow.
The vortex had opened up.
Yes, thank you. I feel
it's actually
that, go ahead.
It's actually the heart's like spinning in this vortex and turning over on itself, and so it's almost as if it completely become misaligned. It's sort of like how you spin the person around between the tail and the donkey, and so that they're still kind of dizzying or whatever, and it needs to be in that state for about the next 5 minutes, and then while that's out of kilter, then creating a new resonance within that chest cavity, so then the heart will come back in a different orientation.
I like that because, I felt the heart drop down to the stomach, and I'm feeling that, but what I actually, interesting enough, what came out of that, too, was I was feeling, and I still am, feeling that more that pressure on the bladder. So it's like almost like the heart dropped down to the stomach, and it was like it took up space and pushed on the bladder.
Mm-hmm.
That's fascinating.
Pushed everything down.
Yeah, pushed everything down. So, did everybody hear what Andy said? There's a resonance going on now, a vortex coming through the heart to bring the heart back to its place of alignment. And I'm also feeling a whole lot of sadness with that, too, because part of the requests and the intentions were about feeling no sense of purpose. Feeling no sense of desire or motivation, and feeling an intense amount of self-doubt. And self-doubt comes from the perspective of the heart being misaligned and the perspective that we think we're actually doing it. And so there's this dichotomy of we are the expression. Each of us has our own unique expression, which is why we had to talk about the mastery earlier. It's not about each of us becoming carbon copies of one another. It's about each of us expressing our own beautiful, weird, wacky, unique expression. And sharing that as we go about our business in the world. And as we step into that place of being, and instead of holding back, then the resistance, the fallen expression, the doubtful expression, is going to just kind of dissipate and float away. Beautiful.
There's also the sense of, you know, I want to let go, though it's no longer serving me for my highest good, all of that. But the sadness is also, but I don't want to let go of that one, even though it's not serving me. But I don't, you know. So the letting go of some of these things may not be what you thought they'd be, you know. It might be a friend you thought you wanted to be keeping friends with, not, let's say, a friend you don't think you want to keep being friends with, or something like that. It doesn't always show up how you hope or expect it to. But you have to be open to having it showing up how you asked for it or intended it.
Yeah, at the soul level, not at the level of the brain and the mind.
So that's the fear again.
Yes.
What does it mean to have to give that up?
Great deal of still nausea and pressure I'm feeling.
Left kidney.
Yes. And that's kind of shooting up the spine into the central nervous system. I love it. So, then this energy of Ganesha comes in. And Ganesha mm-hmm. comes in to remove those obstacles. Ganesha comes in to say, hey, I represent your central nervous system. I represent your reptilian brain. Are you willing to play with me?
mm-hmm.
Are you willing to play with me in a joyful manner and not in horror movies manner? It's interesting because that just popped up. It's kind of like we are so programmed into the drama. It's like there is this deadening, and this is part of the request too that people had. It's the word apathy didn't show up, but no purpose, not being motivated, not having desire, and having this sense of pressure comes from this sense of the deadening of the senses and needing to clarify the senses because. In the past, again, this is the old stuff. In the past, the only way we felt alive was by intense stimulation. Horror movies. Fright Night. Obsessive sexual expression. So anything obsessive. Anything extreme. Extreme is a theme we want to just relax and just let fall by the wayside. Oh. Let it go.
Yeah. Intense pressure in the brainstem, the doula, all the way up to the cerebellum from about C3.
just where
the restriction is.
Yep, all the way into the throat.
Because that's where mine is. I don't know if it's a group thing or mine. I think it's group. So.
I can feel it too.
I feel it too, and in the throat.
And it's really driven by fear.
And very addiction. Much so.
Fear and addiction. Which addiction is driven by fear.
Yes.
Are you willing to take off the mask or the sunglasses and see what it really looked like? Or at least see that it can look a different way. Maybe not the real, but
Thank you for saying that, because I was about to say, nobody's mentioned eyes, but I will tell you that the eyes are cloudy. And again, I keep seeing like this reptilian, this lizard-like energy where it with like it has a like another eyelid over the eyes.
It comes, and we've said this before, but it really comes down to who are you being? Not what are you doing, but who are you being in each moment that allows you to live your life from a place of joy and from a place of presence?
Try that even more through the senses, because even the who are you being is very confusing to people. It's like, what does that mean exactly? And that's what we were talking about earlier. It's about what wants to be expressed through you. You uniquely.
Not what someone else has told you.
And then not judging it. Because there's this dynamic of we're comparing. Ah, comparison. Compare, compare, compare. We're such a competitive species that we have all of these relay games, all of these reality, all of this stuff going on about let's compete. I must live up to your expectations of me and or at least meet your expectations or surpass them instead of just being in the moment. That felt like something just dropped out of the head. Which made the bladder act up even more.
More fear.
Yeah.
Oh my God, what do I do with this?
Yeah. Oh my God. What if I don't have anything to offer? And here's the thing. Everybody, everything, every aspect of creation has something to offer.
Even think bugs.
Yes! I love it. My sister said, do you have stink bugs in Florida? Because they're like being swarmed by them.
Well, the time for me has come. I got to get going. So thank you, everybody.
Andy, thank you.
Have a good month, everybody.
Yes, you too. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Even stink bugs. I laugh. I love it. I wish I knew the consciousness around stink bugs. I looked it up, but nobody could tell me. So, this brings up a question of value. What is more valuable? Who is more valuable? So there is an old paradigm of hierarchy. Somebody must be in charge. Somebody must be in control, and they're the ones that get to decide the rule set. And we're not talking practical steps in business or in life. We're just talking about all of these barriers. I'm seeing like barricades that have been put around us, and we need to literally just step over the barricades.
And recognize that we get to be in charge if anyone's in charge.
Yep. And be in charge joyfully.
Exactly.
Not not in charge with, oh my God, that means I'm going to make a mistake and somebody's going to notice that I'm a fraud. Wow, that goes back into a lot of different bloodlines, a lot of different cultural bloodlines. It's funny because dogs just popped up and it's like, you know, we put such value on purebreds. And labeling that way instead of recognizing this unique chemical, alchemical mixture that is us.
We're purebred.
Now I'm a mutt.
We're purebred mutts.
Exactly.
It's just like, it's kind of like this, okay? If you take an airline flight, and they always ask for first class first, you know, the members of first class, please come forward. I'm first class. They just haven't recognized it yet.
Actually, we haven't recognized it yet.
That's the next piece that I was going to say.
Yeah, so let's recognize it, okay?
Recognize that.
I like that. It's not even that they haven't recognized it yet. It's we haven't recognized it yet because we come, I mean, even you're going to use the airplane metaphor. All right, airplanes have a limited number of first-class seats, so not everybody can be first-class. How do we deal with that one?
And so the consciousness of that comes through our whole cultural system.
Exactly. So it's working with, it's again, those barricades just falling over. It's like I'm seeing these, you know, these construction horses that they put up with the flashing lights. It's like they're falling over, falling over, falling over. Nice. That feels good. We need to do something with our earth chakras, though, working with the root, because the bladder is still a problem, still prominent, still issue.
Well, and part of that comes from, you know, this whole piece with the root chakra and the bladder. And, you know, it's like that burden of responsibility. When truth, if you break responsibility apart, it's our responsibility, our ability to respond. And what happens is our society in many ways has made responsibility appear as something hard and full of effort. So in our human experience, we run away from that. We don't want anything hard or that's going to create effort. When truly we take that level of responsibility to heart, then we recognize our whole value, our true value, and we don't have to live in fear anymore, and we can become grounded in what we're here for, whatever that is in each moment.
I love it. You know that old commercial, Toys R Us? I don't want to grow up. I want to be a Toys R Us kid.
Mm-hmm.
That just came up. So we associate responsibility with no fun.
Right.
No joy. Associate growing up with no fun, with no joy. Total deception.
Exactly.
So there is a lack of self-expression going on because we fear that growing up means growing old and growing tired and growing heavy, and growing means pain. Growing pains. Ah, growing pains. We have a concept of growing pains that we haven't been able to let go of so far, and it feels like that's something that needs to shift. Hmm. back to the bladder, only because not only is there an urgency there, there is several people with urinary tract infections. And it's linking into all of this, these self-deceptive control mechanisms by these belief systems that we've put into our bodies to keep ourselves in check, to keep ourselves under control, to keep ourselves from being too full of ourselves. Interesting metaphor for the bladder being too full of itself. So we need to do a cleanse around that.
What's a clearing?
Yes, a drain. It's almost like a lymphatic drainage through our chakra system and through our fields of draining that misperception, those misperceptions. That being foolish is a problem. It's interesting because the Fool in the tarot deck is about all about trust.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, and it's about tapping into that fool that trusts at all levels that all of its needs are taken care of. All it has to do is step off the cliff and the land is there. The footing is sure.
Just drop back down to trust over and over and over and over and over and over again.
Yes.
The nature of trust is about the non-knowing, the not knowing.
It's about the joy of not knowing.
Yeah, it is.
The gratitude of seeing something new. Ah.
And faith.
This is going to the eyes and the perception, that whole childlike innocence of seeing something new.
Mm-hmm. The wonderment.
Yes.
And faith is about exercising that ability of steadfastness with anticipation, knowing and trusting.
Yeah, knowing that...
For wonderment.
Yes, and knowing that we don't, quote-unquote, have all the answers, at least consciously, but we know all the answers are there, and we have access to them, that nobody's more special than anyone else, that nobody is part of the I Have All the Answers Club and keeps us out. Nobody's the quote-unquote favored child, which leaves everybody else out. We all just to get to experience it differently and then come together and share it. Yes? What do you want to say?
Feels like some things are starting to settle.
Yeah, that's what it feels like to me, too. Norman was just pointing out he feels like we're still being too heady. Oh, okay. Okay, we're going to work with this consciousness of overwhelm. And it's like sifting it. Providing more space in our consciousness, actually opening up the walls in our mind so that we actually have room to just kind of look around and play instead of feeling closed in on. Back to more sadness. mouth. Go ahead.
Sadness. Recognizing that sadness comes when there's transition, because we've known things a certain way. Like saying goodbye to an old friend.
Yes.
And so just allowing for the sadness to flow through.
That's important, actually, and I'm hearing the words bittersweet, which to me is tapping into the sense of taste. That's a valid point. You know, it's like when relationships come to an end, we talked, I think, last time about, you know, when they come to an end, it we feel like we have to make somebody wrong for them to come to an end. It's not about somebody having to be wrong. It's about just noticing the resonance and when it shifts. So when you've shifted to a place that is different from a situation or a person or a place, and being able to just let go of that and recognize that there's sadness with that. Which comes to fear, and actually we're going to bring in awareness too, because when we're having sadness about a transition, it means it's going to be different. It doesn't always mean you have to totally cut off that situation or that relationship. It just means it's transitioning, and it will unfold into something new. Sometimes separate, sometimes together, but something new. So if everybody on the line can just breathe into the letting go and breathe into whatever sadness that brings up for you, and just breathe into it. So while everybody is doing that, I'm just going to make everybody aware of your heart space. Breathe into your heart. And imagine as you're exhaling, that you're exhaling that need to control, or that need to quote-unquote hold it together. And breathe into, as you breathe into your heart, it's like the inhale is like taking in the sadness. The pause is about just being with it. And the exhale is about letting go. And then there's a pause between every inhale and every exhale. And then just imagine as you're breathing in and letting go, suddenly the sadness becomes light. And you're taking in full in-breaths and out-breaths through the front of the heart chakra and all the way through to the back. And breathing in through the back of the heart chakra and all the way through the front. Now, as you're doing that, imagine think of someone you love. And imagine that you're breathing them in through your heart chakra and out through your heart chakra. And as you're breathing them in and you're breathing out, you're not only filling up your heart with light, you're sharing that light with them. Beautiful. Now imagine something you need transmuted in your life. Breathe it in with all the sadness and the fear and whatever comes along with it. Breathe it in and breathe it out through the back of your heart chakra. Welcome it in. And then welcome the release of it in love and light and gratitude. Now let's do the same for a world situation, something in the world you would like to see transmuted and transformed. Breathe it in. Embrace it. Cradle it. Hold it with that pause in your heart with love. And then breathe light and love into it and exhale it out as well. I'm also breathing in through the earth chakra. Breathe in through your root. Breathe in through the center of the earth and welcome in earth energy, all the way through the crown of your head up to source. Beautiful. Imagine you have roots into the center of the earth, and imagine that you're taking in that transformative earth fire and breathing it all the way up through the chakras, all the way up through the crown, and up all the way up to source. Beautiful. And imagine that you're holding it there up to source, and you're holding it there for just a moment. And then you're inhaling from source all the way down through the through your vertical channels, through your horizontal, through your all of your channels, through your being, all the way into the center of the earth. And you're breathing in and out. And as you're breathing in and out, there's this pumping action that goes through all of the cycles of your body that's breathing in earth energy, breathing in source energy, rooting you and connecting you to source. And bringing you back through the heart channel. And anchoring it into your senses and into your body. And I feel like it's like this cleansing breath going through our channels and through our heart. And connecting us all at that level that allows us to express our uniqueness, and yet always feel connected. Hey, is that Sozo? I think that's the end. So what we're going to do is we're going to anchor this, and we're going to bring this into, I'm going to use a light worker's technique, and we're going to stabilize and set this energy, and we're going to bring it down into everybody, into skin, soft tissue, organs, into bones for everyone. So bringing it into, we already brought it into our fields. Now what we want to do is we want to stabilize and set and bring this into everybody's skin, soft tissue, organs, into bones. One more time. Anchor this, bring this into skin, soft tissue, organs, into bones for everyone on the call and everyone included in the call. And now I'm just going to ask that it be stabilized and set. And I'm going to ask that everyone be balanced, optimally balanced, and everybody be optimally aligned to their own unique frequency. That's key. Bringing everybody into alignment and into harmony with their own unique frequency while this energy is being stabilized and set into skin, soft tissue, and organs, into bones. And I think that's all I have. How about you, Teresa?
Feels good. Feels like it's complete.
Yeah. Felt really important to bring that back through our channels to cleanse it and bring it down into the body.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Sorry, thank you.
You what?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome.
That was awesome.
Thank you, Debbie.
You're welcome, everybody.
It's awesome. I'm vibrating right now. It's great.
Yay.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie and Teresa.
You're welcome.
Hello, I got on a bit late. Hello, Debbie.
Hello, Tanya. You got on in perfect timing.
Yes. Talk to you soon. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay.
Good night, Debbie. This is Bobby. Thank you so much.
Night, Bobby. Sweet dreams.
Thank you. Talk to you later this week.
Yes. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Anybody else? All right.
Cool.
That was beautiful.
Awesome work, Miss Debbie, like normal.
Nice. I'm going to stop the recording, right?
Yep.